Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 9 of the Dulu Show. We had some very interesting and quite fun guys right now as guests on the podcast. Julian, tell us who they are and how did you find them?
We had a very pleasant chat with the guys from Italian Football TV. Very nice guys from the US. They're based in the US, but their content is based around the Italian Serie A. A lot of passion for football. Very active guys. Work ethic amazing. A lot of content they produce on all kind of different platforms, and it was nice to talk with another pair of kind of co-founders of a brand company.
What kind of topics did we cover?
We went from strategy, social media strategy, content strategy, how we share responsibilities being a two-person operation. We covered their most viewed YouTube videos and what was the effect of those. And then we went on for the interest of football in the US. Is there something else I'm missing?
Yeah, a little bit about collaborations and some good tactical advice about how to approach influencers on YouTube.
Collabs, yeah.
True. That's about it. We hope you enjoy this episode. Let us know in the comments. If you find it useful, share it with your friends. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks guys. Enjoy. Oh, cool, guys. Thanks again for taking the time. A friend of mine, a huge Juventus fan, showed me your channel. And I was like, well, this guy's like the most passionate channel on YouTube, probably. So I really like wanted to reach out and then maybe we could get like a call going. Which, again, thank you for.
Absolutely.
And basically, I mean, we're just going to chat, mainly ask about like your process, content strategy, social media, kind of more the business questions. Because we can't really compete on football knowledge, even though we're in Europe. So just to introduce myself, I'm Julian. So I was the one who was writing with you guys on Instagram. I don't know who I was talking to, or maybe both of you were answering.
Hold on, cool.
So I'm Julian, and next to me,
that's Marin.
Is Marin? We are former classmates, and now we started a company about 1 year ago, where we're still in the prototyping phase. We're going to hit market around September. But yeah, and then. The other things we're doing is kind of vlogging and blogging about the whole process. That's kind of the idea, to document the whole process of building the company and then continue to do that once we're operational.
We started doing very similar, and I really like your Instagram stories, especially. They're pretty entertaining. I like that kind of stuff a lot.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, thanks. Yours too. You're doing a good job. I think I'm guessing you know Gary Vee.
Yeah, I know Gary.
I saw his signature on both of our contents.
Which one?
Well, like the whole documenting part, like posting frequently, really engaging with the audience. I saw a few of your YouTube clips, and I think you answered each and every comment, which was, I was like...
Yeah, we try to. It's becoming a lot more, which is a good problem, but...
It's a good problem to have. Yeah, so just tell us a bit about yourself and then the company, the brand, the thing you're doing, and then we can get into more questions.
Okay, cool. So I'm Marco. And this is Michael. We met since sixth, seventh grade in school. So since we were very young, 13, 14 years old, we've known each other. We always had this passion for football, specifically Italian football. And, you know, we're very, very, very upset. See online, if you watch football, it's all about the English Premier League. It's all about the Spanish League. It's all about the German League. There's no one doing it for the league that we love most. And one day, we were on the phone. Like an hour, just talking about the Serie A, just talking about Juventus, Milan, all the teams. And I was like, yo, we should start a YouTube channel where we just talk about football, because it was fun, it was entertaining, and that's where it started. And everything's done pretty well. We've been hustling every day. We're here in our studio trying to make it happen, and we made a lot of mistakes as we've gone along, but now I think we're starting to get a little bit of momentum.
Where's your studio, guys?
It's in Brooklyn. Yeah. We're in Brooklyn right now.
New York.
It's not really a studio. It's a basement.
But we made it into like a studio.
But is it like part of one of your houses, or is it a separate place where you go to?
It's separately.
Yeah, the separate place. We don't live here. Okay. So we just come here every day. Though. It's close by, so we always come every day here.
Nice.
Great stuff. Are you Italian, or are you both from the U.S.?
I'm Italian-American, and he's Greek-American.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Nice one.
We're both born and raised here.
We originate from Bulgaria. I don't know if we mentioned that, so we're kind of also in the same region.
Berbatov.
Yeah. Is he playing now or is he retired?
I don't know. I'm not sure. He might be retired.
Yeah. Okay. He was not playing in Greece, I think, and after that...
Yeah, he was about. That's right.
He's taking it. So when did you guys start the whole process?
I think we opened our channel like 2 years ago, but we became serious about it about a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you start immediately with covering the Serie A, or you started with generically talking about Italian football or the Italian players that are playing in the US?
No, only Serie A and only Italians abroad too.
Okay, pretty good.
And I'm really curious about like the content strategy, because I saw you guys are posting like once at least a day, but then sometimes two or three times on YouTube. If I'm not, so how do you go about, do you plan that, or do you kind of, if you have content, then you do more, and then if you have less, you do less?
Well, we try to post at least one time a day, some two or three, sometimes depends on content. If there's some controversial video that people always DM us, they're like, do it on this. And if we get enough requests, we do it on another video. But then sometimes we travel a lot too, like to a certain event. So we try to at least put one video a day, because everyone wants to know the transfer market news and all stuff like that. So yeah, that's what we've been doing for the past, for a very long time, actually.
That's just on YouTube alone. Yeah. On Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, we handle it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Since it's only two of us, I'm sure you guys know, trying to hit every platform
is
overwhelming sometimes, especially when you're doing like videos on YouTube that need like hours of editing. So it's hard to stay up on everything. Twitter, of course, gets a lot of our attention posting on that at least 10 times a day, at least. Yeah. Instagram, try to do a little bit higher quality, funnier stuff,
things
like that. And YouTube, obviously, longer form stuff.
And Facebook, too.
Facebook's like a mix between Twitter and Instagram. We don't post everything there.
We post a thing with a bigger audience. Yeah, we don't post like crazy. We limit our posts there where a bigger audience would get, because that's our biggest platform at the end of the day. And we get a lot of comments and likes there and a lot of traction.
Our Facebook completely took off. We never use Facebook. We were using Facebook just to post the links to our videos.
The wrong reason.
And we were doing this very stupid. We didn't respect Facebook. And then for some reason, we said, let's just post some of our videos on Facebook. And man, the traction. It's our biggest platform now. And it's grown incredibly. For some reason, our audience is mostly on Facebook. 40,000 followers on Facebook. And that's our biggest platform. And that was one of the things that we were doing really wrong. We kept trying to link everyone to our videos. And we were noticing you get like three clicks on Facebook, get at least between 2,000 and 5,000 views alone. And then that's on top of what we're getting on YouTube, which is 2,000 to 5,000. So if you add those two together, our exposure was more than what we were getting by just
putting a link. Yeah.
At what moment did you realize this advantage of Facebook, or this edge that Facebook gives you over YouTube?
Well, the good thing about Facebook is it's so much easier to share than YouTube. You can tag your friends and everyone gets it.
Saying, when do we realize?
Oh, when did we realize?
When we realized?
Was it 4 months? No,
I don't. A few months ago, maybe like four or five months. I don't remember the reason why we started to. I think we posted one almost on Facebook, and we're like, oh shit, this did really good.
So then we just started putting more, and we started getting a lot of likes. It's so much easier to get followers on Facebook than the rest, because there's such a bigger audience.
We took it too short term, though. You know, we kept thinking, we got to push everyone to YouTube, and that was the wrong idea to have. Now we're having that, we're not just stuck on YouTube. You know, we have a bigger platform, and we sell some merchandise now come from Facebook. So at first we were just thinking, we got to get Google AdSense from YouTube, but then we realized, listen, if you have like the eyeballs on you, then you could go and sell your own kind of stuff.
And do you support this with ads on Facebook as well?
No, we don't do it.
They recently started only doing for Facebook ads for only very big channels, and they're testing it out, and it's gonna be very hard for smaller guys like us to get it.
Yeah, we don't do any of that yet.
Okay, so all your traffic, all your views are organic on Facebook.
Yeah.
Impressive stuff. Nice.
And so you mean that previously you were sharing YouTube videos on Facebook, but now you're uploading them natively to Facebook?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think there's a shift coming. I've heard many people switch over from, just change focus over to Facebook more than YouTube.
We saw that too. Like our videos, our podcast, for example, gets more than 1,000 views on Facebook, and very little, very small numbers on YouTube. It's almost, we use YouTube almost like an archive. So if we need to get all our content some at one point, we can point someone to that direction. You guys are very active and doing so much on all these different platforms and trying them out all the time. How do you split the workload between the two of you? We noticed that you have some really good content and very, very good quality graphics as well. Do you produce all of that yourself?
I mean, we try to have a balance. There's sometimes that, you know, maybe Michael's a little bit more busy than I am, and it's 50-50. It's very 50-50. As far as the graphics are concerned, actually, we were producing everything ourselves. It was just us two. And then we got to a point where we started seeing that our higher quality graphics were doing very good, especially on Twitter and Instagram. And we just tweeted out one day. We're like, is anyone a graphic designer that follows us and wants to work with us? And we got like, and of just people that are like, listen, I'll do this for free. I just want something on my resume, this and that. We added each other on a WhatsApp group. And we have some people who are starting to produce some higher quality graphics, some like cool Photoshop type of stuff. So yeah, that's one thing that we did. And one thing that we need to do more, since we've been traveling a lot, we haven't been as active, and I think we need to step up that side, because graphics are extremely shareable.
Right. And did you see any notice once you started adding the improved graphics in terms of your content numbers improving?
Absolutely.
That's a good one.
Just give me 2 minutes. I see my laptop's on red. I'm just going to plug it in the
power. We need juice. Yeah. it's over there, I think, the closest plug that we've got. We have to move also a little bit our setup, because we're also doing all of this from our living room.
Yeah.
So that would require a little bit of movement. There you go. I think that's enough. There. Oh, you have a nice view of here.
Yeah.
You are. Is this, by the way, we can do this now. This is Italian Football TV. Where can people find a lot of your content? What are your social
We hit every social media platform. We're usually at IFTV Official, at IFTV Official, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube, anything else?
Yeah, pretty much. That's it.
Yeah.
Do you do Snapchat as well? How active are you guys on there?
Falling off a little bit on Snapchat.
We did, but Snapchat we do mostly of ourselves, so people get to know us. It's like a closer connection to us rather than mostly content.
What we started doing actually on Snapchat is we're drawn more towards Instagram at the moment, just because we're always posting there. So we go straight to Instagram stories. And a lot of the stuff that we put on Instagram stories, we just download and put it on Snapchat. It's not the best. But for now, that's just what we're doing. We wish we were more active on Snapchat, there, I'm sure.
Yeah, because there's a lot of platforms. I mean, we're seeing this as well. Because, like, even if you make a video, you have to think of like three, four, five different places to put it, different lengths, different formats.
Yeah. And your content is really good also for audio. Are you doing something with sound?
That's something that we're working on.
We're
testing it. One thing that we struggle at is having a little bit of balance. We try to do everything, you know, and sometimes when you try to do everything, you don't do anything. And so we're still learning, but we're definitely working on something with audio. We just haven't figured it out yet.
You should check out Anchor if you haven't already. We started doing it, and actually you have a 5-minute slot, and it's super easy, and at least for ourselves it turns out to be something like the most natural place where we are the most natural ourselves as well, because there's hardly any barrier to doing it. And they have a pretty cool tool. You can go on their website, anchor.fm/clipper, and you can just upload a 5-minute clip, a sound clip from somewhere, and it goes directly in your feed. And now they hooked it to automatically publish all your stories or anchors as a podcast, which is accessible on iTunes and all the other platforms. So they're doing a lot of interesting stuff there, and I think your content will fit amazing there. I'm a motorsports guy. I'm following one or two motorsport people on Anchor, and it's pretty cool because they have stuff from the tracks, and you hear the background noise. It's really good, and it's really easy to...
That's cool. I haven't downloaded it.
Yeah, because I guess it's easy if you make a video, then just take the sound and put it on Anchor or something like that. Nice. So what's kind of the long-term vision for you guys, for the brand?
Now we're working on becoming a company. We're trying to make this official and expand and get some people to work for us. One of the things that we struggle with the most is definitely editing. Editing videos, if you've never done it, you probably think it's nothing. You just press record on the camera, it goes on YouTube somehow magically, and there's that. But we've learned the hard way that there's hours and hours and hours and hours of editing. We learned all the systems, Final Cut, all this. It was hard to learn. And that thing takes up so much of our time. Every single day we're producing content on YouTube. So, you know, 3 to 6 hours for just one of us, you know, staying up very late, not sleeping much. You know, we're slacking on the accounts that we have. We're not growing as fast just because one of us is taking so much time to edit. So we're trying to get on who edit our videos for us. That's the thing that we're most focused on. But even longer term vision than that, we're trying to become the place that brings, you know, Seria, who speak English, together. And we'll figure out as it continues, as the world continues to go, how to do that. And yeah, I don't think we have anything set in stone. But when we started a Twitter account, we definitely didn't think we'd be here on a podcast talking about how we built such a problem.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And then how, I mean, you guys mentioned that you're starting a company. Is that more something towards the media space, or is it more product, let's say, merchandise based?
It's actually a little bit of both, but mostly for videos and our foundation. But we also want to stay protected of our stuff, because a lot of times we put out a video and it gets stolen, our logo gets cut off, and you know, and they get, and they're bigger accounts and they're so much bigger than us, and they get like 10 times the views we get,
so
and it's annoying, and they don't message back and all that stuff. So we want to be protected as a company. We want to put our name, our domain, have a website, and also our merchandise, you know, so we can actually sell them officially on the website and don't get any copyrighted, because we're sick of being that small company. We want to make it official and just start from there.
And also because of investing opportunities by a few people, and we need to have like some sort of foundation in place, because if you're talking to someone serious, it's hard to do that if you're not already an LLC or if you're not founded yet. So we definitely want to put that into place at the moment. So that's one of the things that we're working on right now.
Yeah, but that's a nice proof of concept of actually starting and building something before making a company or making a website. Because I think what we did previous times that we kind of tried to start something, we get like a domain, make a logo, and then you have nothing but you have a website. So I think your approach is better than actually building something and then making the company afterwards when you have a product and some proof of concept.
I think one of the best things that we did was do that. You know, we just put our head down and started just putting out content. And then the best thing about that is that, you know, our logo was made by a fan. You know, graphics are made by people that we had. So you didn't have to pay someone to do that kind of stuff. And you guys know, you don't have money to do this, and you don't want to shell out money that you don't know is going to get returned to you. So having this like little sort of foundation, and it's nice to like try to start a company. It's fun, you know, but then when you realize how much cost there are into it, I mean, it's hard and it's a huge risk. So yeah, I think that this way, for us at least, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, and then of course you're building relationships with those people as you grow, so it's kind of a more nurtured following, I guess.
Absolutely.
Cool, guys. In your history as a channel or as an entity, what was the pivoting moment or the moment that really stands out and puts you on the map?
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
The video?
Yeah.
You go say it.
So we had this one video that went crazy, crazy, crazy viral. Paul Pogba, I don't know if you know him. He was making the biggest move in football history as of yesterday, because Neymar just got sold for even more than what he was sold for. Anyway, this guy, he played for Juventus. He was going to Manchester United. And I saw on Twitter, I was like, all right, this guy's in New York. And so we went to go try to find him. We're like, we're going to find out first if he's going to join Manchester United. Is he not going to join Manchester United? So we went there, we found him, and Mike recorded me as I asked him. He lied to us and said that he was going to stay, but it threw like everyone completely off. That video had like, I can't even explain how viral it went. Our phones were burning because of the amount of messages and retweets it had and views it had. It was shown on every single news station, ESPN, literally just everywhere of our faces in that. And yeah, that was definitely the huge moment that we're like, whoa, like this thing just went huge. But any other pivotal moments, I think the last video that we did where we work with Sampdoria, who's a professional team, professional football team in Italy, that moment was just huge for us because I think we realized that week, it was the greatest week of my life for sure. And we realized that that was what we were meant to do, was to like do stuff like this, done for in Italian football, in English at least. And that week really changed it because they contacted us. They wanted us to make this happen. And for this idea to start out in our garage, to Italy to do this with professional players and what we dreamt of doing was huge. And you know, I kind of get goosebumps thinking about how it all came about because it's incredible. But I think that we haven't even done 1% of what we're planning on doing.
Nice. And for the video you mentioned, did you, it's a two-part question I guess, did you expect it to go that viral? And then after having that viral hit, are you looking for like the next opportunity to create such a video, like intentionally, or is it just something that you're creating and then maybe something pops?
Dude, if we knew that that was going to go that viral, our logo would have been huge in the center because everyone kept cropping out our damn logo that we put so tiny in the bottom left corner because we had no clue what was going to happen.
You needed the watermark.
And yet, you know how TMZ does it? They put it huge and then they make like a little bit opaque so you could kind of see what's going on. I would have done that and said, if you want to use this, you got to email us and let us know. So yeah, we definitely didn't we were uploading and we're like
make the logo smaller, it's too big, put on more of the court.
But yeah, it definitely does get to you because you start to think like recreate something like that, and in a sense you can. It's just so hard.
You can't predict the future.
There's other factors than us.
That's true, because a lot of times you're like, oh, this video's going to get big, and then it gets nothing. And then sometimes, like, ah, this is an okay video, and it does very well. You can just never predict it. You just got to be prepared for it.
But another video that we did actually a month ago, it went pretty big. Not as big as this, because that was a huge football. But in Italy, it was shown on every channel live. It was shown a lot. And this one did really good. And we basically recreated the same thing. We drove 3 hours away to Connecticut, where we knew this player was going to be. And we gave him one of our hats for this team that he was supposed to be joining 2 days away from happening. We gave him it. We said, listen, if you're joining Juventus, take this, sign it, and this could be your first colors as Juventus player. He took it, and he was laughing and having fun with it. He eventually did join, so people were going crazy with that. And a few other videos that we just put out this week out of the Italian media, AS Roma, and a few others. But yeah, it's so unpredictable. If you ask, like the Pogba video is our most viewed video by far. And one of our worst videos that we've ever done. Like from our standards at least. So it's weird how it works, man. It's so hard to replicate.
And we even put the link on Facebook thinking we're gonna get a lot of clicks and that did nothing.
If we put that on direct Facebook, that would have got like a billion views.
You're so stupid.
It's so stupid. We're still thinking about that. We can't sleep because of that.
Do you guys travel to Europe often?
Excuse me?
What was that?
Do you travel to Europe often?
Do we travel often? In the U.S., as much as we could, we were actually in Boston. We went to New Jersey. There was an international Champions Cup, a soccer tournament where Juventus, Roma were playing. So we actually went to those games, their training sessions and stuff like that. It was very fun. We saw a bunch of fans.
I wish we could travel more, though.
Yeah.
It's
tough because we didn't put out a transfer video or something. And we did it for like 5 days just because we were traveling and to go, and you can't really do everything.
One of us is like editing in the car, and the other one trying to
tweet at the same time.
With so much content that you guys are producing and posting out there, you have to launch your own satellite just to have your private internet provider.
And how is football picking up in the US? Because I mean, if you're in Europe, you can go to Italy and you kind of have access to all those people, so creating content wise. But how's that in the US?
Football is doing well. Football is growing incredibly. Italian football, not as much. Not nearly as much as we wish.
The Premier League, I feel like, is very big here.
The Premier League, you know, the Real Madrid,
Spanish,
Barcelona, Bayern Munich. You could have content for days. They just do so well. But it's actually a great thing because if there was a place where these Italian teams were here, then there'd be other people. There was no niche in the market. We were that because no one was hitting it. So we think of that as a blessing. You know, we're happy that it wasn't happening because it gave us that opportunity. If we went in this trying to be just the general football channel, talking about Real Madrid, Barcelona, Chelsea, Manchester United, etc., like, I think we'd just be stuck in the crowd where everyone else was going. And I think looking, you know, when everyone was looking right, we went left. I think that's what really made us break out. You know, you got to find something different. If you're just doing the same thing, you're good enough to do it. But just in our opinion, that's why we think that it's taken such a next step, because no one was basically doing it.
Yeah, that's super important when you're entering such an oversaturated market, to have a differentiation and to just have a different category. You basically created your own niche and are operating as the leaders or one of the top players in it. On the topic of actually football becoming, or soccer becoming more more popular in the US, I'm really impressed personally what the Major League Soccer has done by bringing all these retired players from Europe. I know Pirlo used to play in the US. Do you guys see how this picks up the interest in general to the Major League Soccer, but also to the European Championships or the Champions League, for example?
Yeah, we'll compare it to Matt.
No, like how it's picking up and stuff.
Oh,
I think it's great.
I think it is great. And the technology, say what you want about the MLS, but they have the best technology, the best media than any other European club. Not like we're watching the game. What was Real Madrid versus MLS All-Stars? It was so entertaining to watch. They had cool graphics, referee, and they had like a referee cam, and you can see what he was seeing. They were doing like
in-match interviews.
In-match interviews, they had someone get subbed off, and they were talking on the side with the player while the game was going on.
Again, doing something different.
Exactly.
No one in Europe would ever think about doing anything like that. They did this different. They catch the attention. On Twitter, MLS is the best. They do incredible stuff. All the teams do incredible stuff. And yeah, the players help out. You know, seeing Jovinko, Kaká, David Villa, Schweinsteiger. You're seeing them on the pitch, it's beautiful to watch because they understand this kind of level and they rub off on a lot of the younger players just by experience. A lot of people criticize them saying it's like a retired league or whatever, but I think that experience definitely helps. But I'm not going to lie, I still can't watch MLS really. Just because the football, it's not there yet, and we're also preoccupied a lot with the Serie A. So.
Yeah, I think the marketing that America does as a general, as a brand, I mean, it's miles ahead of Europe at least, which is our advantage because we kind of can peek into the future and take stuff over from there and apply it here. So it's really another level, at least from marketing and branding point of view.
Yeah, they're amazing. I mean, in terms of commercialization, I will again mention motorsports. Formula One, which is the biggest motorsport event in the world, has American owners since the end of last year. And you immediately see the openness and the things that they're starting to do. People are still not really picking up everything, or it's going to take some time. There's a lot of resistance to doing new things here in Europe, especially when you have older executives on the higher places. They don't really, they're not receptive to all these ideas and giving stuff for free. This is not really in such a protected environment. This is not well looked at, but that's where the market is going. And actually having people like you guys and what you're doing and working with this content that's freely available or very easily available and building on top of it, it's amazing. It creates this virality that is otherwise you wouldn't see, you wouldn't gain access to these new audiences.
Yeah. And the same way, I mean, some American sports are becoming quite popular, I know, in Europe. Even in Asia, I mean, baseball's picking up a lot, soccer's picking up a lot. So I think there's a lot of influence that the US market has in
I think so. And guys, from your audience, are you keeping track at all of where are your viewers from? Are they mostly US based or coming from all over the place?
Well, this kind of mix. A lot of it's US, Canada, Australia, UK are like our top markets for sure. That's mostly because of English speaking. And there's a lot of SETI options in those cases.
We have viewers like everywhere.
That's true.
Yesterday we got an order. We got orders from Canada, Bahrain, Australia,
Indonesia,
Canada,
United Arab Emirates also.
I mean, like, that's insane. Like, it's insane for that to happen. So yeah, definitely all over.
Can you mention what kind of orders you said orders? I'm not sure our audience is familiar with. What are you guys selling?
Yeah, we sell hats. We sell some caps based off some of the top teams in Italy. And yeah, that it's just the start of like some merchandise, because hats are a good sell just because
you don't have to worry about sizing
and all this. So yeah. It was less risk for us. So we tried to just design that just to help us, you know, buy a camera. Like we bought a camera, we bought some light. We fixed up our wall a little bit, you know, so that kind of stuff, just to put the back end of things. So I think that's a smart idea. I think that, you know, using that to your advantage, just because your audience wants to help. Just getting views off YouTube or whatever is not everything. And if you can provide value to them, a lot of people have ordered from us, you know,
just to support too. It's not like they're like, oh, we don't even like hats. We're just trying to support you guys and help you guys out, which is, you know, nice to hear, because all of our money goes to, you know, the channel and IFTV and everything. So we're trying to make it better.
Nice. Are you using any systems or websites like Patreon or any of the other like crowdfunding or supporting platforms?
We feel weird, like, I don't know, getting donations about it. So that's why we want to, like, at least give them something like a hat or something. But everyone's been telling us to do it.
We get messages to do it.
Yeah.
For some reason inside of us, we just haven't been able to do a Patreon or something like that. We're trying to get to that point where, you know, we can figure it out other ways instead of having to do that.
Nice stuff. Well, I know you have a special question prepared.
I have a special question, guys, from the biggest Juve fan from Bulgaria. Let me just... the guy who introduced me to you as well, and he sent a special question. I know he follows you closely.
He's been crazy about Serie A for as long as I remember him.
He was very excited, yeah, about the podcast as well. So the question is, do you intend to collaborate with any YouTube vloggers, publishers for long-term projects, or you would stick to guest appearances on podcasts and shows?
Absolutely. We're working with YouTubers on collabs, and that's something that's going into the new season. That's something that we're trying to do even more. We started a little bit, and we realized how great it is, and it's just smart, you know, embracing some of what people call competition. You know, we don't really believe in that. We believe that there's so many people to go around, you know. Yeah. Just because one person has the views doesn't mean someone else is not going to have them, and we love that kind of stuff. We've done it in the past, and yeah, the only reason we've had to do guest appearances as of yet is because it just takes a lot of time, you know, to do some collabs. A bit tougher to do, but now that we have a good foundation in place, especially, we're going to be doing that a lot more often.
What kind of channels? Sorry, what kind of channels are you collaborating with? Other sports channels, or what kind of niches they are?
So there's a few channels. They've only been sports channels as of now. And you know, it's cool that you could find a way to collab with, you know, a Chelsea channel. We do a lot with a lot of Chelsea fans. We just did something with the Manchester United channel pretty recently, because you can always find these little bit of connections. But we've got some ideas that we'll keep a secret for now of ways that we could do with not just, you know, are based off this. So yeah, we're working on some pretty cool stuff, and hopefully soon people will see what we're working on.
Nice. Can we go a little bit into the tactics very briefly of how you approach such a collaboration?
It actually starts off with a message, like Marco was saying before, with the collaboration. We try to keep it in football, you know, because that's all we really know. We can't do anything really outside as of now. But like we've been getting into Premier League just because, like, Antonio Conte is Italian manager in an English team about him. So when he first came, they reach out to us. They see that we do Italian football, and they're like, could you come on for a few minutes, talk about who this Italian manager is, and because I'm sure our fans will love it. And as soon as we recorded, you know, all the fans, they didn't know who he was, because they didn't really know, he never left outside of Italy. So we did a video with them, they liked it. Then another channel asked us about another Italian player, we talk about them. So we're trying to find, like, ways to go out of the Serie A, too, to help out other leagues. And there's a big market, like we said, for the Premier League. It's so much bigger, they have so many fans, exposure that way.
And a little bit tactically, I think that doing it organically, making it seem organic is very important. I hate those videos where it looks like they're forced to just be working together, you know?
Yeah.
You really got a vision of the person, not just do it because you're like, oh, this is going to get me more views, you know? Like, we know the person, we love what they're doing, we share the same vision, and it's very organic. And that's one thing that I think we've got in the works, the right way to make it more, even more organic. Because I think you guys know, when you're watching content, you can spot when it's fake from a mile away. And that's definitely not something that we like to do.
Yeah.
have to be genuine all over.
Always. It always, because it goes through. It goes through. People see it. If it's not authentic.
Excuse me?
I mean, people always see it if it's not authentic. So it's you're not kidding anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. The most important thing we've done was basically look to ourselves and say, what do we like about what there is right now? What don't we like? Just how we started this channel. We saw that there was no one doing it, and we're like, we don't like that. Let's make a difference. We don't like how this channel or that channel goes about how they do certain things. And we look at ourselves and we're like, that's not the direction we want to go in. And we work to not just do something just to do it, you know, to do something with purpose and something with the way we want to do it. You know, there's a lot of things that we could have done, but we didn't, just because we thought that it wouldn't be a smart idea or it wasn't the direction that we wanted to go in. And yeah, it's kind of hard sometimes, but you know, we're trying to stick it out and to make it good. And now that we actually have a little bit of a following, because to be honest with you, when you have like very few followers, there's a little bit of a, you know, I don't know, like a pyramid. Is that what you would say? A pyramid?
Or a mountain to climb up, you're saying?
Like when people are at a top, not everyone always wants to help out some of the smaller channels. And, you know, we don't want to be like that, you know. There's a lot of people contact us, can you just come on for a few minutes? Can you do this and that? And that's what we like to do the most. Like, that's the best thing that you could do. And, yeah, that's not what we want to do. And we want to keep it real to us and real to where we came from. I'm saying it like we have a lot of followers, but I'm just saying we get contacted a lot by some small channels, you know, channels with 15 subscribers. And we love to do those kinds of things, even more sometimes than the bigger channels, because they actually end up being more fun.
Yeah. Well, I know you guys have to run. I want to be respectful for you, of your time. I'm sure we can do a part two sometime in the future. And then, yeah, just stay in touch. We're going to be following your content. Yeah, in touch. Just say good luck with everything that you guys are doing. Keep the passion in those videos. And yes, maybe see you in Europe at some point when you come visit Italy.
And best of luck to you guys on everything that you're doing. It's really fantastic. We love to see us. And thank you for reaching out. And we're honored to be here. So really, thank you guys.